This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, man.
Good morning, how do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen and the lineup too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it true?
The building all of a sudden went crazy, Dusty. It's raining out, so I'm sure the power will go off in this joint at some point.
That's right. That's the sweet sounds of the old number fives there. I just got a text. Hey, Matt, congrats on the extension, by the way. Thanks for coming into the studio today. You and your lovely wife joining us as we are hopefully going to stay in...
Hopefully you stay dry.
Feels like the poltergeist is happening right now. Yeah. We might have to wheel these TVs out before we continue this interview. So how are you two doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing well. We're excited. Thank you for the congratulations. I mean, we're happy to be here. It's always good to come in and see you guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're really excited about the extension. Our family, as we've said, we love it here. Our kids love it here. Obviously, I'm really grateful for the opportunity and really love what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with.
All right, enough from you. Chris, you're here.
Hello, gentlemen.
How
and,
are you?
And all of the listeners. Yeah, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, for you, though, this is cool. I mean, look, I'll talk from a family perspective as well. You got two kids. You're a mom. You want to put down roots. This has got to be great for you guys.
I cannot complain. This has been fantastic. Okay.
God, what is happening?
Bob is dismantling something
just
as we
the
speak.
Microphone. Sterling, I got to see Chris.
I know, I am a sight.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, guys, thank you
Matt,
so much.
How are you? Okay.
All right, no, and take two. All right. No, things have been great. We really appreciate this opportunity. Love our house, love our neighbors, love... Holy crumbs, 5 potentially more years. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
We are a happy crew.
Yeah, you should be. It's awesome, and it's deserved. I mean, you guys have done a lot of good things in a very short period of time, and so you guys got an opportunity now. I keep saying this. Chiefs out of the playoffs now. It's Royals season. Like, you guys got a golden opportunity here.
Well, we're excited about, you know, obviously what JJ and Scott are doing and the players we've acquired and trying to put the best 26 best 40 guys together to go out and compete. I mean, our goal is the same every year, is to win the last game of the year in mm-hmm. the World Series. And, you know, you got to do little things along the way, a lot of little things along the way. But to go after the division is what we're after. And I think we're putting ourselves in a good spot to try to accomplish that.
I don't know if this is like a tough question, but, you know, obviously Chiefs aren't in the playoffs, but people in Kansas City still have a lot of stuff to look forward to. Obviously the new season upcoming, spring training, the World Cup, all that stuff that's coming to Kansas City.
What's your opinion of the World Baseball Classic and how that kind of interferes through the process of starting the season?
It's challenging. I mean, it's exciting. We never tell a guy not to do it. You know,
sure.
I mean, it's one of those things that you represent your country. You see the pageantry and how all the excitement from all different countries around the world. But for us, I mean, that's great if they win that. But if somebody happens to get hurt or whatever, like you saw with Edwin Diaz a couple of years ago, I mean, that's devastating to a team and an organization. So first and foremost, we want them to come out of it healthy. Secondly, we want them to succeed and have fun and all that kind of stuff. But it provides challenges, you know, for Paul Hoover running the schedule or Brian Sweeney with the pitchers. Like, all those things change, but they're not things that we're not accustomed to.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, they're playing baseball, right? And I would think playing in those games gets you more ready for the regular season maybe than playing some of the spring training games, you know?
That's probably true. The part about it is, you know, a guy like Estevez has to be at 100% game speed by March 6th or whatever instead of April 1st or whatever the season official start date is. So that's a whole – that not only does that change his spring training, it changes his off-season, his training, all those things. And, you know, you're not a machine. You're a human being, and
yeah.
you have X amount of pitches in your arm or X amount of sprints that you do, or, you know, everything takes a toll on your body. So hopefully those guys can withstand it.
It's kind of going to be cool, like kind of like a proud dad moment, right, to see a lot of your guys representing other teams and countries, right? Vinny and Jack are going to Team Italy, and Bobby's a starting shortstop for Team USA. That's pretty awesome at the young age that he is.
Yeah, and Bobby being his second time, you know, last time he didn't get to play much, maybe
right.
pinch ran, played a little bit. Vinny's been in it a couple times now. Jack, obviously, and to Bob's point, I think this is a good opportunity for Jack to be at that high level of competition early, get some more game-like reps. But yeah, it's fun to watch. I mean, we'll be tuned in to every pitch that we can, you know, as long as they're not playing when we're playing. But it is exciting, and you see him out there with that Team USA or Team Italy uniform. You know, and Lugo's going to be with Puerto Rico, and I'm sure I'm missing SD, obviously. So there are a lot of great opportunities to see those guys.
Yeah, you're crossing your fingers over there. Your
no,
Team
it's just
Italy.
Something I'd like to interject,
yeah.
if I may.
Sure.
I mean, it's a fun fact about Q.
I still love that you call him Q. I think that's the best.
Well, I do for the fans.
Yes, okay.
In the house, you don't want to know what I call him.
Yeah, I do.
What if he's in trouble?
When am I not?
Yeah. Dusty will learn soon when he takes this. You're always in trouble.
No, but we had a fun moment. It was brief, but you almost played internationally. You were going to play in the Olympics. What year was it?
We were going to go play in Italy, and then
it turns out
pre-internet, when you had to do all that paperwork and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff, eventually they were just like, wait a minute, you don't have the right I dotted or the right T crossed, and we're going to pull the plug on that after going like to every courthouse and find your grandparents' like marriage certificates and all that.
Sorry, I interrupt you all the time, so there you go. It turns out his grandfather did everything right to be a naturalized citizen, and so we were planning to go to Milan, and I was ready to wear the heels, and...
Pulled the plug at the last
time. Yeah.
You know what's funny? That story is funny because that is how I got my first coaching job. Was I was going to go play and not coach. And then when that fell through, at the time, the Rays said, hey, Devil Rays said, hey, stay and coach. And I never got out of coaching again.
Yeah, so it worked out, I guess. Crazy.
Right.
You
Scott.
Missed a trip to Italy, though, Chris.
Yeah,
I mean, the hell with that.
Italy.
I think I would have probably tripped and broken a heel on
probably
those
but with this new contract you can go at any time, but take the private jet, we're good to go.
All right, so back on track, gentlemen.
Hey, you're not the only one. Michael Garcia getting signed this offseason, man.
So fantastic.
How cool is, I mean, the left side of your infield, first of all, my goodness, but just seeing that kid have a subpar season the year before and then just dominate this year, that was great. He wasn't even on like the opening day roster, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, he was on the roster.
Yeah,
I don't think he played opening day because that's good managing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that works out.
Way to go, Matt.
But, you know, I don't know if you guys got the opportunity to see, right before he signed that extension, there was an article one of the Latin newspapers did about him and his journey, and when he dropped out of school and told his mom, promised his mom he'd make it. And, you know, I'm sure there's a million guys that have done that, but his drive, his motivation, his determination to fight through a lot of the obstacles that he's had to overcome has been tremendous. And just to watch him grow right in front of our eyes, not only as a player, but as a person and a teammate, mm-hmm. I couldn't be more proud for him or his family.
What was it for him that flipped that switch from 2024 to 2025?
See, I think in 24, there was a lot of good there, too. It wasn't, you know, you look at the surface numbers, they weren't great, but he did a lot of good things for us. You know, and you saw him on the big stage in the playoffs and how he succeeded. That's what drives him, is that motive. You know, last year we played the Braves here, and his cousin is Ronald Acuna. It was like they were playing one-on-one out there, you know. And he's just that kind of guy, and I think he's learning how to do that day-to-day. And I think that's the biggest difference. He dedicated himself to the weight room the offseason before and his swing. And so I think he understood what it took to be a successful big leaguer.
We'll keep you around for a little bit. We got to go to commercial break, but we'll be right back. I got marriage questions for you guys.
Ooh. Not that I've been in the weight room. Want to feel my guns?
Okay. Well, there's that for you. We'll be right back with Matt and Miss Cotrero here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Please. What the hell was that?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
This is your song, right?
Yeah, this is the Ram It song from the 80s Rams. The whole team singing it.
Sounds like Abracadabra.
Yeah. The Rams get down, so nobody scores. And don't you worry, because the Rams are rapping when game time comes.
We're in studio here with Matt and Chris, as I was scolded heavily during the break. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Not by me, babe.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you. Good to have you guys here. Gloomy, rainy day, but lights are on here, so we're good here.
For right? Now, they are, yeah. I wouldn't guarantee the rest of the day, but...
So to pay off my tease, marriage questions, not in any way near getting married, right? Like, my marriage life is as close to, like, the White Sox being first place in the Central. It's okay, but you get it.
I doubt that, babe. I doubt that.
Okay, well, we got to find the lucky one that can put up with this mouth. Do you guys ever use baseball terminology in your relationship?
Not that I can think of.
Honey, let's turn two here.
That's
you know
hot.
We gotta...
That's hot. Yeah. That's hot. No.
Okay. I didn't know. You know.
Hey, honey, we got a double play going on down here with the two kids running around or something. You know?
Robert, you keep your place.
I will keep my place. Thank you very much. And you know my wife. So you know when she says Robert, I am in trouble. Mm-hmm. Actually, when she says Bob, I'm in more trouble than Robert. Robert's endearing.
Yeah. No, I didn't know. Like, you know, maybe like you start the evening with an 0-2 count. You know, you were late getting home.
You're down 0-2,
you're probably
Matt. You got
getting
the kids.
A lot of my views.
I was
now,
just going to say, well, yeah. Now we shall
might be
start.
Onto something, man.
But what is marriage like for a baseball manager? I mean, like, I would imagine it's like two ships just passing the night at opposite times, right?
Let's high five right now. Was that audible for our listeners?
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait, let's do it again. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, gentlemen, I and all the listeners, absolutely. I think it's two ships passing in the night, but you appreciate the crumbs out of each other even more.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing for us is that the stability that, you know, in this game, there's very little of it, but to be able to live in the town where you manage is great. I mean, that's one of the things what a lot of people don't have that opportunity, or they haven't chosen to move their family to where they manage, and then it's just... You know, we did that when I was a coach through 2018, and, you know, we were seeing each other 7 to 10 days a season, you know, that kind of thing. And when the kids got going, and, you know, that's why Chris, you know, she was teaching in New York and decided, hey, this isn't, you know, we don't need to do this where we don't see each other or the kids. And then she took the jump and we moved to Florida, and we've been on the move ever since. So now getting to stay here is the best possible scenario we have.
It really is. And it's a great place to raise your kids and say where you're from. Well, you're unique with that. Though, why did you guys decide to live where you manage? I mean, maybe because managers just look at, I'm going to be fired next week anyway, so I don't want to uproot everybody and move there. But, like, you're unique. I can't remember the last Royals manager who lived here in the offseason.
Well, I mean, it was a family decision for sure. But, I mean, we were in Florida, and our kids were at that age. You know, they were young. They were in first and second grade, I think. Or, no, kindergarten and first grade when we moved here. So they got the...
I think resilient is the word we're looking for. Our kids were able to just bounce back, you know, wherever they were. However, our son George, our oldest, he's 10
named
now.
Named after Brett?
Of course. but he said to me last year, Mom, if we had to move again, I think it would be hard.
So you know, that was before the extension or whatever, but we said, all right, let's win some games so we can keep our kids where they are.
What would you do though with that situation, right? Like if 3 years from now, let's just say worst case scenario.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, I think you have to. My wife and I talk about that all the time. If anything were ever to happen to me and I had to go somewhere else, you're staying and I'm gone because I'm not going to uproot my kids in high school at this point, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we talk about that all the time. Do we want to stay here? Like, wherever you work, you got to live somewhere, right? Uh-huh. So, I mean, I think it would be a family discussion, but, I mean, we certainly would welcome staying here. You know, it's been a great place, like Chris has talked about, the neighbors, the schools, all those things. So, it certainly would be a consideration to stay.
Yeah.
So, Chris, being the wife of a major league manager, do you see, like, mannerisms that nobody else would pick up on? Like, when he's walking to the mound, you're like, oh, he's pissed.
No, I try not to touch my face a lot because that indicates that you are worried. Mm-hmm. No, I believe it or not, gentlemen, as
– You talking to us?
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I'm looking at you. As much as I show emotion in my face, now, when my husband is doing his job, I am really good at stone cold Steve Austin.
That's kind of have to be that way. You know, we were talking earlier about Peacock doing some things with their broadcast where you can mute the broadcasters, turn up the crowd noise. Would you like a feature where fans could vote on the move they want you to make?
Oh, good Lord. Don't get me started.
That would be an interesting take. No.
No. All right, let's go to the Twitter poll. Fans say, put in this guy, and then you got to go out there and do that.
Oh my goodness!
How cool would that be?
Oh, it'd be so great.
Right?
Thanks,
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
And then I'll write you a note and put it under your pillow.
Yeah. Sure, but you wouldn't get, I mean, the blame for that. Hey, that was the crowd's decision, man. I don't know. The crowd, you know, did this, so I don't know.
That'd be a fun post-game presser.
I believe that's called Facebook.
Yeah.
What was the decision putting Estevez in the eighth? Well, the Twitter poll said 90% I should have done it, so that's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
That's great. So I know you're a guy that once the season's over, it's done. Like, we don't go back to that. I learned my lesson in a press conference one time, and next season is now, right? This is this season. But what can you take from last season that you can implicate into this season moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we knew we would need depth. You know, you always need depth for injuries and all that. We just ran into a spot last year where all the depth got hurt at the same time as the guys in the big leagues. But I think the biggest takeaway for me personally was we're doing a lot of work to build understanding of each other personally, emotionally, you know, players, coaches alike, just being more accountable to each other and to ourselves. And that can come off as sounding like it wasn't in a good spot. It was. I think we're just trying to push the needle a little bit so that when things do get tough, because they will during the season, that guys have each other to rely on more.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, last year, you know, Vinny getting to play that whole season and see what happened 2 years ago when he got hurt and whatnot. Is there a way to put a, I don't even know, like an explanation on what that guy just means to you? I look at him as like, Bobby's your best player. Nobody's going to doubt that. But Vinny's like the heart and soul of that organization. Am I reading that right? It just feels like he's the glue for that.
He's a great team guy. He's a great player as well.
Yeah,
you know, I think the production is one thing, but the personality is another. And I mean, you can't overlook Salvi and what he means to the team as well, because those guys, they all feed off each other. That's why baseball is so unique. I mean, we talk about the 40-man roster, not the 10 or the 12-man roster. Like, you need every single one of those guys to bring their personality every day, so it's a consistent place to be. And Vinny has that personality, and I think that's a big driving force for us.
Working with a lot of baseball players in your career, have you ever just seen anybody like Sal Perez? Like, it's just the way he plays, I'm sure it's probably sometimes annoying when you're like, hey, man, we're going to have to give you a day. And he's like, no, Skip, I'm not. And it's like, Sal, listen to me, you know? But, like, it's like, what he just, it's there. Like, the power's still there. The endurance is still there. The laughs, the fun, all that's still there. Mm-hmm. To me, that is like a pure model of what a great, like, it's the cliche, like, I'd love to have 100 Salvador Perez's over, you know, one Mike Trout or something like that.
I have never seen somebody like Salvi. It's the first time that I've been around a guy that's a Hall of Famer, you know, a guy that's far advanced in his career towards the Hall of Fame, and the personality and the drive. And the thing that always sticks out to me is like, we'll get beat up, we'll lose our fourth in a row or whatever, and maybe he didn't have a great night, and you'll hear the weights banging in the weight room, and he's in there 11:30 at night lifting weights after playing his 22nd straight day in a row with a smile on his face, ready to go for the next day. And that's contagious, you know, and that's mm-hmm. the kind of thing that guys see. And he credits a lot of that to watching Gordo when he was playing.
Oh.
And, you know, Salvi's obviously handing that down.
He'll manage at some point in his life, won't he?
I joke with him all the time. Just let me know when you're coming in, because I just need to be able to move out of the way, you know. Yeah. So when he signed his deal early in the offseason, I said, all right, I got two more years
that's
at
right.
least.
So,
yeah, right.
You know, I talk about that with him all the time.
Cool. Do you think that he could just move in right away after playing? Like, we've seen Steven Vogt and guys like that. You're young as well. Just kind of move in and do that thing. She's rolling her eye. I'm trying to compliment you.
I'm taking in the lighting, yeah, gentlemen.
That is very
it's
nice.
Perfect.
All the dust.
I do think so.
Yeah,
I mean, he
right
can do
away.
Whatever he wants.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he thinks the game, he continues to learn the game too, because as we know, the game today has evolved a lot since he came up in 11 or 12 or whatever it was. So, you know, he's learning, but he's also extremely bright when it comes to the game.
So, like, I'll ask you, because you're in the job, what makes a good manager? Like, why do we see Salvi would be a good manager? Because I do agree that he would be. I just don't know, like, from your
I think
aspect.
It's his personality. I mean, I think yeah. everybody's different. Like, there's no myself. When I think about the people I've worked with, like, there's my personality is the 180 from Tito or from Cash.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. 180.
But they are who they are. And Salvi is the extreme case of being genuine to who he is.
Yeah, so we look at the pitching staff. Cole Reagan's looking to bounce back, looking good so far this year, or maybe whatever you've been told or seen. I have a lot of faith that he has a chance to be a Cy Young winner.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, the greatest part about last year was seeing those last three starts that he made, and the mm-hmm. worst part was seeing those last three starts because it showed us
Tell
what
me
we
about
missed.
It.
But yes, Cole, all signs are in the right direction. You know, he's been talking with Brian a lot. We've been getting videos and all that, and his mindset is in a great spot.
What are you looking at when they send you the videos?
I'm just looking for the health, you know, just seeing how he feels, listening to what he says. Brian shares those with us, but the
Perfect.
Communication they have with the pitching department's second to none.
Yeah, what is it off season like? Because I think people just the game's over, we go home for the winter, we'll see you in spring training, right? Yeah, right. So like take us through like the day of like what goes on in the off season. Like, what are you doing? What are the players doing? All that kind
There's
of stuff.
There's different phases of it. You know, we do a really comprehensive like evaluation after the year of, you know, feedback from staff, players, coaches, everybody to say, all right, what are the things we're going to concentrate on? How are we going to drill down on being more, you know, more detailed in these areas? So we'll do a lot of that in, you know, this year, unfortunately, it was October.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's a lot of talk with the players about their plans, and they usually ramp up early November. Some of them don't take that much time off at all. And then you got the guys that are in winter ball, that kicks off. Then you get ready for the winter meetings in early December. The later part of December, the early part of January slows down a little bit. And then, you know, arbitration is going on right now. That's not something that I deal with
that
every
process
day.
That process sucks.
But that's the agents and the players in the front office. And then you know, we're planning spring training.
Yeah.
What I guess if I was a manager, I would have no temper patience. Like, I would get ejected 101 games out of a season. I promise you that. I think maybe you got tossed like two or three times last year.
Well, it was the game where we told you to get tossed and you actually got tossed.
Yeah.
Which is the greatest thing ever. Hey, Matt, we'll be at the game. Yeah, if I get tossed, I'll come sit with you. He got tossed. The phone blows up. Is he coming to sit with you?
When you know all these umpires,
they put him in a panic room.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You get to have the night off, right?
Well, I mean, it's funny because you go up.
Not funny.
You can't watch a live feed. You know, every TV in the clubhouse is delayed because of the cheating scandal from a few years ago. So you're not watching it live. Even I think the radio might be delayed. But you go up and you're following and you're watching it on TV and you can't be on your phone. You can't do anything because there's a clubhouse monitor that shows you. So it's.
Wow.
It's a very lonely feeling to be removed from the game.
So Chris wasn't lying.
She wasn't lying. Like, this is real? Like, you're not in your office just drinking beers?
I mean, I guess I could, right? I mean, I've tended to be in the, like, just pacing around or in the weight room with the TV on or just, because there's other people in the clubhouse.
Clipping your fingernails?
I guess that's a problem.
Trying to do something to stay busy, right? Because it's a really helpless feeling.
I mean, yeah, I just thought, like my image is Agatos. I go back there, I take my baseball pants off, put my feet up on the desk, drink a couple of beers, and wait for the media to roll in.
Yeah, I wish I could relax that much.
Yeah, it was like Jim Leland did that to me. I've told Dusty this story. Jim Leland one time was managing the Tigers, right? And I'm sitting in there covering the pregame or whatever, and he's got his pants off and nothing but his stirrups on and his, like, you know, slider
Hello.
Shorts, right?
Hello.
And he puts his feet up on the on the desk and lights a Marlboro Red, right? And stands there and just... So I talked to Bonds today, and, like, literally nobody says it. All these reporters are in there. You know, some of these people are socially inept, and they're all sitting around and whatnot. And he goes, well, do you want to know what we talked about? And I go, yeah, what'd you guys talk about? None of your business. That was the best. Like, Leland and Pinella and guys like that, the old guard, you know?
Yeah. No, it's just always fun because, like, I mean, I always kind of wonder what's being said between umpire and manager, which, I mean, obviously, I'm sure at that moment, not a lot's probably meant for television, but, like, there's times when I go into a clubhouse at a golf course and the clubhouse guy or the whatever he tries to pull one on you that, like, he's trying to pull rank, and then I have your kind of demeanor where I'm just calm, collected, and just giving back to him what he's giving to me, but in a more collective way. And I didn't know if that's kind of like your way of doing it. Like, when you see a strike zone that's just all over the place and, you know, you're just reminding them, you're not going there like, F you and F this. You're just more like, you've been inaccurate. This is wrong. You're wrong in the third. He's like, all right, Matt, that's enough.
See yeah. You. I mean, it's more of that. It's more in the moment. You know what you can get away with and what you can't. I mean, if you go out there to talk about balls and strikes, you're gone immediately. So it's got to come from the dugout. It's got to come from... it's an uneasy feeling because, you know, you could, like you said, you get thrown out every night if you really wanted to. And that's not my job, right? My job is to manage the team. So there's got to be some give and take there. But overall, I have a lot of respect for those guys. I mean, that especially calling balls and strikes is difficult. And it's going to be more difficult now with the challenge.
Are they ever like, you're right, that's me, that's on me, I'll get better, and you walk back, you're like, damn right you will.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, those are the professional guys. Yeah. And then some of them will even come the next day and say, look, I blew that or whatever. And but you can't do that. You can't, you know that's the case. And they can't change their call. They can't go back and change it. And that's not just balls and strikes. Like, hey, I'll take a look at that tonight and I'll get back to you.
No doubt.
Yeah. You mentioned the change coming in baseball. And there's a lot going on in baseball with the work stoppage potentially at the end of this year. And Pittsburgh spent some money. But you've got the balls and strike challenge system. And I had the opportunity, obviously, in spring training last year to see this. I came back. I'm like, Dusty, this is the greatest thing to happen to baseball since the pitch clock. I mean, yeah, I love it. You don't like it? You don't like it?
I'm still marinating on it.
Really? I think it was so fast. You didn't even know what was going on. It wasn't intrusive at all. Tapped your helmet, look at the scoreboard. There's the deal. Boom, we're on our way. I thought it was great. Do you not like it?
I'm more on the side of, like, I think it should be for every pitch because if we can get one of them right, let's get them all right. You know,
I agree with the strategy
of a challenge to me in baseball, I've never really understood that, but that's something our R&D department's working hard on, is figuring out the best use of those challenges too, and when and what the leverage should be and all those things.
So Kansas City's home for a little bit longer. When did you guys know? Chris, I guess I can ask you that more importantly. When did you know? Because you've got a lot of people listening today and a lot of stuff going on
in your
life.
So oh my gosh. Lovely people.
The floor is yours.
Well, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like Kansas City, what it means, like what the people that are listening to you today, all this sort of stuff, like it's all full circle now.
I am reduced to tears nearly, but I have had enough coffee to talk to you clearly. Well, I know right now one of my favorite groups of people is at Operation Breakthrough.
Nice. They're awesome.
And I hope my little ones are still listening in, because Miss Veronica and Chassie and Kelly and Brooke and Jamie. You see that dramatic pause? Mm-hmm. You're all listening. You're all looking at me like, where is this going?
No, I'm not.
Anyway.
I just had money on whether you're not going to remember the last name.
No. I love being a part of this community. And I'll be honest, when we first found out we were going to move to the Midwest, I thought, better get a pitchfork and some overalls. And no, it's it is the greatest group of people that I've ever met. Mm-hmm. We are so comfortable, and I'm looking right into my husband's eyes right now. And no, we love it here. And so hopefully this next winning season, mm-hmm. let me say that again, winning season is going to be amazing.
Yeah, and we'll give a parade for Matt down.
I don't need a parade. Oh, you meant him.
Yeah. No. I mean, you can be in the parade. You know, you're more than welcome as long as you don't take my seat.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for asking, Jesse. You're a sweetheart.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, I appreciate when people do nice things for people. It changes people's days, weeks, months, or years. That's how we sign off every day on this radio show, because you really don't know, right? Like, a lot of people look at you and you're like, oh, you're the manager of the Royals. And, you know, it's like, you know, maybe you're active with the team, but your wife is active with the city. And I think that's kind of like, you know, the compromise that can't happen. Like, you might show up sometimes, but it's more so like her job to do that. It's your job to manage the Royals. And at the end of the day, you guys go home with smiles on your faces and continue to move through life. So that's awesome that you guys do that.
It is, because again, we have not had that from the managerial standpoint. Now, we've had that from football coaches, because football coaches tend to more live in the city. And Carol Vermeil was always at Operation Breakthrough and doing all that, you know, to date myself a little bit. Those sides were always involved in that kind of stuff. I love the fact that you're involved in that.
Thank you for recognizing that.
No, it means so much that you guys are here. And I, you know, we joke around a lot and have some fun, right? But I do really mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I think it matters for a lot of people in Kansas City. You guys are one of us, you know? And I'm a transplant, too. I moved here in 95, so I consider myself a Kansas Cityan now. I've been here longer than where I grew up. And so it means a lot to be here. You guys can experience life and what, you know, your fans are going through every day. And I think that's really important. And you have that connection now. I mean, you're going to Jess and Jim's and Martin City and the Sand Trap and all these places. Like, you're hanging out with the locals, and it matters. It really does.
I think some of the best experiences that we've had together here, we've gone to the Ronald McDonald House. We've done the Veterans Community Project, you know, just, and by no means are we doing that for like recognition or whatever, but mm-hmm. when we get there and you meet the people that are part of this, like you're saying, the community, and you just hear the stories and listen in, and
it's so genuine.
It's been so fun. That part of it's been remarkable. And I know it's crazy, because we're scratching the surface of it, right? Where every time I go somewhere, like, I didn't know about this organization, and right. then like we want to get involved in that, and you want to get involved in that, and there's just so many good things going on here that it's humbling.
Well, I'm going to come to Chris next year, probably, and say, yeah, okay. You should be in Dancing with the Stars. Don't you think she should be a contestant, Dusty? Oh, My wife did it last year. I did it 10 years ago. It's for the BMA Foundation.
Your wife has run marathons. However, I have done marathons in stilettos.
Really? Well, then you can dance and do the, you're raising money, basically, is what it is. And then you dance, and, you know, you have 20 dance lessons. It's always like right at the beginning of June. She'll have to miss a baseball game or something.
You can see me doing this.
Oh, yes. My goodness. And you would be awesome at it, because your personality is perfect.
Thank you.
You know a lot of people in town. We, as BMA Foundation, Operation Breakthrough has been a partner with us in the past before. So you've got some experience with that. You don't have to know how to dance. You just have to have your husband write a check, and that's all we're looking for. Okay. So,
there's the
done
plug.
Done and done.
No, you go out and fundraise and do it. If I can raise money, anybody can, right? And my wife can, so you can as well. I think you would be. Wouldn't she be awesome at that?
Oh, I think it'd be great. And then you can hang out at the table that I was at. I got everybody at the table wasted last year.
I didn't know if we could go there, Dusty. Oh, but thank you.
Oh, I'll have a cooler full of Surfsides, and we'll just sit back, zero trouble, zero bubbles, man. And if you want a funny story here, Bob was giving this like ceremonial speech. Because Jen won the whole thing. Nailed her dance, did like a handstand, and then Bob's
cartwheel
like
flip.
Bob's out here giving his wife all these praise, and in the back table is my loud ass. I said, Bob's getting laid tonight.
Are we still on the...
Oh, yeah.
Are we live? Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness. Gentlemen, I didn't know we could go to that level.
We do whatever you want.
Dusty Likens. Damn glad to meet you, Chris. Yeah. I do have one last question for you later. What was your first date in Kansas City?
Oh, in Kansas City.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Okay, you go.
When we came, we got hired, came for the press conference, and then came back a couple weeks later to look mm-hmm. for houses. We went to Garozzo's for my birthday. That was our first night out here in Kansas City.
Oh, my God, I could live there.
What was your second night out?
Sleeping.
On, that's a lot of.
I know.
The fact that I remembered the first one was good.
I thought you were going to ask us about our first date, which I could nail it.
All right, tell us. Okay. I think you told us this last year, didn't you?
I don't know.
No, you told us his nickname.
Oh, well, there were, yes, I remember talking about that. Our first date, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
It was at Garcia's. It was a Mexican restaurant. I wore a banana clip and a very big sweater. And
if we're talking about 1991.
Well, that's what I was so like. Had to be the 90s. You said banana clip and big sweater. Did you have the thing clipped to the sweater when
no,
it was hanging down?
No, I did not. I looked very elegant, right. Robert.
Okay. I picked her up in my parents' Subaru station wagon.
Were you wearing a members only jacket?
She might remember what I was wearing. I don't remember
what
I was wearing.
He was not, but he was playing De La Soul.
I did have a flat top.
Ooh, love De La Soul.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I love De La Soul.
Me too.
Did you know that? Did he know that you loved it and that's why he played it?
No, he just thought he was being deck.
Oh, man. That's
being smooth.
Here we are thinking Grateful Dead's the only music you listen to and De La Soul's in the track.
What was their hit?
Oh, there's so many.
Why am I drawing a blank?
Wasn't it
three feet
it's
high? Magic
oh,
number.
Three is the magic.
And then they have another one. It's like the I kept drawing a blank, but yeah.
Wait.
I'm telling you, I'd love De
It'll
La Soul.
It'll come to me. We'll talk.
I know. Is that what it's called?
When we're off the air. Oh,
3 feet high and rising, I think, was the name of the album.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah.
And everybody had a flat top. Anyway, we are boring our listeners.
No, we're not.
I know. That's the song. Yeah, I know. It's got Otis Redding on the drum.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. And
this guy?
Play it, please. Oh, my God. I might kiss.
Kiss your husband.
So we do.
You gave him the cheek.
We make him laugh. And
you give me the lips.
Oh, well. Well, guys, we appreciate it. Keep doing great things in Kansas City.
Love you guys.
Great voices and great faces here, and I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for
so much.
You bet. Thank
Peace
you, Matt.
Out.
Thank you, Chris. That's Matt and Chris Cotrero here on Cotrero. I said the name wrong for the first time in 3 years. Welcome back to Radio Dusty. It's 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Go and Dusty brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Breaking news.
Can I fix it?
Fix that microphone first.
That's out of my pay grade, bro.
Breaking news in the NFL. Mike McDaniels is fired as Miami Dolphins head football coach.
Woo.
This comes from Ian Rappaport shortly after. With John Harbaugh available and the Dolphins owner Stephen Ross ties to the family, he now looms as a key candidate for Miami, a reason to fire a coach with the thought they could get Harbaugh.
What if they don't get Harbaugh, though, in Miami? Who's your quarterback in Miami?
Lamar Jackson.
I mean, no.
Why not?
Because, you know, like, Miami may want Harbaugh, but why should Harbaugh want Miami?
Total control.
They got a GM that they're hiring, though, aren't they? Like, aren't they in the process of hiring a general manager right now? Like, isn't
you pause that, though, as you get the coach?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, okay, so let's say total control. Who's your quarterback still? I mean, because if you're going to hire Harbaugh, to me anyway, and I just look at past things that have happened, you got to do what the Chiefs did when they hired Andy Reid. You got to make a trade for a quarterback. They went out and got Alex Smith and said, you know, because Andy Reid took this job, he went, who's the quarterback? It's Matt Castle at that point in time, right? And so that would have been a bad job to take, but we didn't focus on the quarterback as much back then, honest to God, as we do today. And so we're looking at a situation now where who's going to be that quarterback down there in Miami? Do they have a game plan where they know that they can make a trade for a big name quarterback to lure John Harbaugh to Miami? Because I look at that job right now, number one, it's dysfunction. Number two, there's no quarterback. And number three, it's dysfunction down there. They fire coaches all the time. And again, they don't have a quarterback down there in Miami. So I don't know why John Harbaugh would take that job. If I'm John Harbaugh, I'm strictly looking at the quarterbacks. I'm looking at ownership and I'm looking where I can win the quickest. I do think the Giants still is the best job at the quarterback. And I think that division is weak too. I mean, the Cowboys aren't anything. The Redskins are back to square zero. The Giants, you know, can get a boost and be a New England type of team because they have some talent. And nobody knows that Philadelphia is long for the world. Miami, now you got to compete with Buffalo. You got to go out and compete with New England. I don't know why Harbaugh would want that job.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the no quarterback thing can be seen as either way. It can be seen as a pro or can be seen as, oh, no quarterback. I get to have jurisdiction now over that decision. That's a big thing. But then there's also, yeah, Titans already have a quarterback that can also be a pro for someone. I like Cam Ward. Let me go join that situation. But I think the division, I just think about the division so much. It's QB, then division. I don't want to be playing the Bills and Patriots four times a year. And not to mention, like, the Patriots are just getting going. They're going to get better and better. And Drake May's, what, 24 years old? Yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. The Titans, the Giants, hell, the Falcons all seem a little bit more appealing to me.
What is appealing about the Falcons?
Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and that division sucks.
Not the quarterback, though, again.
No, like, not the QB.
Because I don't know what to expect. And the reason I ask you that, because who is the quarterback right now? Because they did redo the contract of Kirk Cousins, which everybody says will mean a post-June 1st, you know, cut.
He'll be cut, yeah.
Is Penix going to be healthy and ready to go?
It's a good question. I would draft
Thank
someone.
You.
So
I would draft someone.
Max texting into the text line quite often.
Ooh.
I'm going to ask you again. Nate Shieldhouse or Mike McDaniel as your offense coordinator?
Give me Mike McDaniel.
Tell me why. Tell me why.
Because what the Chiefs, it's a complicated question. Nate Shieldhouse and Mike McDaniel both stylistically are going to bring a lot of the same things. So it's not an offensive question of, oh, well, you know, this guy, Mike McDaniel's called plays and he's been really good at it. I don't know if he'll get that authority here,
no.
But he's done that. And that is important. That is extremely important. He's run a team and he's run an offense successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Can't run a team successfully, but he's run a whole offense successfully. And yeah, I'd like that here.
This says, from Adam Schefter, Miami's decision to move on from Mike McDaniel is the first of what should be several major moves this offseason. The Dolphins already have Tua guaranteed $54 million in 2026. On March 15th, $3 million of his 27 salary becomes guaranteed. Cutting him outright would result in a $99 million dead money cap. Earlier this week, Tagovailoa said it would be dope to get a fresh start.
Yeah, he did say it would be dope, yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Back to who do we talk to yesterday, and they were talking about, well, it was Binkley talking about hiring a coordinator with the ability to be a head coach. Well, Mike McDaniel's already been a head coach, right?
Yep.
And maybe you want to bring it, or maybe Mike McDaniel wants to go, maybe Kansas City doesn't work for Mike McDaniel. You know what I want to do? I want to go call plays.
Yeah.
I want to have control of the offense.
And that's probably what will happen.
And that's why I think, like, we think it's a good job to be the Chiefs offensive coordinator. How many people that are offensive coordinators think it's a good job to be the offensive coordinator here in Kansas City? Because you don't have the ability to really do anything, right? It's Andy's offense. He's calling the plays. You're a guy like Mike McDaniel. Why would you want to come here and not have the ability to do what you've been doing? There is ego in this business, you know? And guys went from being a head coach, okay, I have to go be a coordinator, but I'm going to call the plays. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. And so I just feel like the Chiefs are probably going to have a harder time than most people think of hiring the offensive coordinator that everybody wants, because the offensive coordinator coming here knows they don't have the autonomy to do what they want. They're basically a conduit of Andy Reid running his system.
100%. That's been one of my biggest qualms with this whole hiring process. Like, oh, they're not going to get someone like Mike McDaniel's guys. But that's why Nate Shieldhouse seems appealing to me, because he hasn't had that opportunity. Pass game coordinator, offensive coordinator. The devil's advocate, though, Bob,
yeah,
for the Mike McDaniels is the Chiefs have never had this big of problems to fix.
Good point.
And
yeah,
he could come in and be that problem fixer.
Has Andy Reid ever had this big a problem to fix?
Not on the same team, because he left when the problems were big in India. He didn't leave. Not like,
yeah, right.
Like,
they got rid of him.
They got rid of him. Yeah.
But they had a couple of years there at the end where they were not good. But
would you argue him coming into Kansas City had bigger problems?
Kansas City had major problems.
He was coming into
it.
Yeah.
Huge. But they also had a good roster. You know, they were basically void of the quarterback. They got the quarterback. They got an adult. They had six Pro Bowl players when Andy Reid took over here. You know, now Pro Bowl back then was a little bit different than it is right now. And they went from 2-14 to 11-5. I mean, that was, and you know, they signed a couple of guys on, you know, Labor Day weekend or whatever it was and did their thing. But Andy Reid flipped that script. You know, that was having the adult in the room. And I look at Miami right now, they need an adult in the room. There's no question that they need an adult in the room. But I think another team would hire Mike McDaniel right away to allow him just to have control of the offense, like a defensive-minded head coach. Like, maybe he'd be a good fit in Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that'd be great in Pittsburgh.
I mean,
that's exactly what they need.
Pittsburgh, because I think
that's
Arthur
it.
Smith is interviewing for jobs. He's kind of a...
He's interviewing for head coaching jobs?
Yeah, Tennessee's interviewing him.
Oh.
Yeah,
he's got to shave. He's got to get rid of that '80s porn stash before
so,
I take him serious.
Like I think Mike McDaniel would be a great fit in a place like Pittsburgh, where Tomlin's just going to worry about being
yes.
the head coach. Go worry about the offense.
I love
man.
That.
I think that his way of offense with like an Xavier Worthy and Patrick Mahomes could be fun.
It could be really cool.
Now, obviously, you're going to have other position coaches coming in. As obviously we know, Connor Embry's out, and you have a receiver coach vacancy. Why not, you know, replant the garden if you're Andy Reid? Why not take, you know, he's always known to give players second chances.
Mm-hmm.
why not give coaches second chances? And like a guy like Mike McDaniel come in and be like, hey, you know what? You're my offensive coordinator. Here's how we do things here. I like your brain. Because if there's one thing that we talked about earlier in the week, Patrick Mahomes is a nerd. Mike McDaniel is a nerd. Andy Reid is a nerd. Mm-hmm. But they're all football nerds. And they all can click together if they all can just have the time together. And I think that would work. I think that's, I mean, I think you go to the poll question from yesterday where we had, do you want Cliff Kingsbury to be the next offense coordinator? It was like 68% yes. I think if you do that poll question tomorrow and said Cliff Kingsbury or Mike McDaniel, Cliff Kingsbury would be left in the dust.
I think so too. Yeah.
Like the dust.
Yeah.
It would be a full flip.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, again, got yes votes yesterday because people knew his name. People know Mike McDaniel's name more than they know Cliff Kingsbury's name. But he's also been a head coach, and there's something to be said for guys that have had that job that know what it takes, you know?
And maybe, you know, getting knocked down a peg for Mike McDaniel. Meant to the playoffs his first two seasons, then ended up finishing with a 35-33 record in Miami, missing obviously the last 2 years, gets away from the Tua situation, gets away from Tyreek Hill situations, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm not out of it yet. You know, I'm not the general manager, but I'm still like the assistant manager at the restaurant. I can still have some, you know, say, and there's going to be times where it's going to be my decisions in this sort of, you know, situation. I'm all for it because, look, now you have, again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 vacancies. I still think there's a possibility there are two more. A quarter of the NFL's rosters are coachless as of right now.
That's insane. Yeah, it really is. I mean, like that's a big number. But you see about 7 coaches fired every single year in this league. I think that's the average number.
Because we talk about when we talk about expansion in the NFL, are there enough quarterbacks for all the teams? And we say, well, no, because look at 4 or 5 of the teams are putting these guys up. Are there 7 good head coaches?
That's a great point.
To like put in these 7 vacancies?
That's a great, great, great point.
Because we ask, like, is it the quarterback play? Is it the coaching play? Is it the development play? Like 7 openings. And we've spent 48 hours talking about 3 head coaches. And that's still now 4 vacancies. And if there are going to be 2 more, that's going to be 9 vacancies at head coach in the NFL. That's if that happens with Tomlin, which I think it could. If they get blown out at home against Houston, I think if the Bills don't make the AFC Championship game, I think McDermott is gone. And then it's like, okay, how many of these guys that get fired are immediately going to get a job again? We know Harbaugh is, right? We know he's going to get a head coaching job. That's a fact. I believe Stefanski's going to. So you can take those 7.
Stefanski can write his own ticket, I think, right now. Him and Harbaugh basically could pick their jobs.
Stefanski will be the head coach of the Raiders.
Oh, no. I think Stefanski will probably end up in Cleveland. No,
I was going to say, what?
He was the number one choice for the Giants up until, you know, Harbaugh got fired yesterday. They were all in on Stefanski. Stefanski may go to Miami now.
Arizona kind of makes sense, too, for Stefanski. Yeah, I don't know. I could see him not getting a job, though, too. I think there's going to be a lot of new names. I would ask over under 1.5 college coaches.
Under. At the college, really? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. When was the last time a college coach got hired in the NFL?
Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that, Pete Carroll.
Yeah. No, it doesn't happen all the time.
No, it doesn't happen at all. Usually they fail miserably.
How many rumblings have we heard? Dan Lanning, Marcus Freeman. We hear it all the time now.
And they all say no now. The college coaches have gotten smarter. They've realized, hey, man, I'm good in college. Doesn't mean I'm going to be good in the NFL. Ask Nick Saban.
The money's better.
Ask Urban Meyer. The money may be better in college, unless you're Andy Reid or, you know, Bill Belichick at the time. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, the money's better. You're going to do more coaching in the NFL. You really are. Yeah. Like, if you're an X's and O's dork and just want to coach, the NFL is for you. Because in college, you're a fundraiser. You're an ass kisser.
Be very interesting, because I like that Mac put that in the end of our...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rundown today. The football frenzy has begun.
Oh. The offseason, guys. This one in particular.
Is this the first night of the semifinals in college football?
Yeah.
Hang on.
I know that I'm hard.
My damn feet up and make me a sandwich.
Ooh, Matt Rhule from the 816. Him getting another chance. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about what guys you want to see get a second chance.
Yeah.
Kegs, eggs, and football.
You know, guy I should have brought up in that segment, Brian Flores. And that's a name that will be hired, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's the Raider coach.
Raider or Ravens?
Raider.
Mm.
Be a good hire.
Hey, thanks to Nate Taylor. Thanks to Matt Cotrero and Chris as well for coming in studio. Thanks to you guys. Drive safe out there in these wet, sloppy conditions. But don't forget, go do something nice for somebody you never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's Simply Cool to Care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy. Coming up next, Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.